Morning. Take your Bibles and go to Colossians, if you like, chapter 1. We heard starting with Carmen, he said two words which you could spend a year on. He said, Lord and Lordship. Making Jesus your Lord is the new birth. But His Lordship in your life, that's a day-by-day thing. That's a decision you have to make every day. Is the Lordship of Jesus Christ evident in your life? That's such a blessing. And then Leslie said that God has placed men in the families to be the head. He's placed them. And then we heard in manifestations, in Chuck's manifestation, about the one body. And this morning, we're going to look at the one body, the many members, the placement that God has done. There are many images in the Church of Grace in the New Testament. One of them is, it portrays the church as a body. Could you draw me something, then I'll dismiss you. Sure. Oh, come on.
I know.
Ask me to sing a song. But anything but it's a stick figure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not even good at those. That's okay.
No, what?
I can do it.
Draw me a stick figure. A head. Wait. Make a smiley face. Where's its nose? All right. It's ears. Okay. Go ahead. Arms, legs, and you can go. Go ahead. You want to do something else? You sure?
Okay.
And see your toes. Is that it?
Yeah.
Give her a hand. That's a pretty good body there, Miss Peggy. Got everything, all the essential parts. Where was I? Oh, yes. The church in the New Testament is portrayed as a body sometimes. The word church comes from a Greek word. That Greek word is ekklesia. And the principal meaning, the basic meaning of the word ekklesia means the assembled or the called out. Today we're assembled here for a reason. We're called out for a reason. Jesus took naps. I like that. I want to be like Jesus. Okay. But it means a called out. The church, by a figure of speech, several, is referred to as a body in the New Testament. And it's not just anybody. It's referred to the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And of that body, Christ is the head. He's the head. And you're in Colossians chapter 1. The New King James Version reads of verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, so on and so forth. He's the head of the body, and the body is called here the church. In the New Living of the same chapter and verse, it reads, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, which is his body. These verses teach us that Christ is the head of the church, and the church is referred to as his body. It's referred to as his body. Look at Ephesians, please, chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 22, it says, and hath put all things under his feet, Ephesians 1:22, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. The head of the church on earth is Jesus Christ. No man is the head of the church on earth or in heaven, except it be the man Jesus Christ. Now, there may be men who found denominations, who found biblical works, but they are not the head of the church. There is only one head, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the head over all things, all things to the church. He is the one that gives the direction. He is the one that gives guidance. He is the one that's the boss. He's top dog. He is the head to all things to the church, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It says the church, which is his body. He's the head of the church. All things, which is his body. Who makes up the church? People do. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, right? And you know, people who are called out by God make up the church. It says, he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is his body. The church is made up of who?
People.
People. So his body is made up of who?
People.
People. People. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If something's going to be full, it's got to be full of something. Right? If that glass that she has or this bottle is going to be full, it's got to be full of something. In this case, it's, if this was Cratchit's, it'd be vodka. No. It's water because it's Mayan. It's full of water, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If something's going to be full, it has to be full with something. And whatever this something is, filleth all in all. It fills it up all in all. It says his body, which is the church. And the church is made up of the members, people of his body. And those people, those members, that body, that church, are all, A-L-L, gifted, and all have different abilities so that the church is lacking nothing. It is the members, the people in the body that filleth the church. And they all have abilities, they all have gifts. They all have something they can contribute to the one body. The one body. Look at Romans chapter 12. God's will for the church is that it should not lack anything. And Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, one of his jobs to the church is to make sure that his church is equipped and able. And lacks nothing. And the way he equips and empowers his church is through the people in the church, the one body. That's the way he equips it. Now, I know you're spiritually equipped. I know you have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But if you have the gift of the Holy Spirit and there's nobody else around, what are you going to do with that gift of the Holy Spirit? There's no one to exhort. There's no one to edify. There's no one to prophesy to. There's no one to speak in tongues and interpret to, that the church may receive what?
Edification.
You understand? Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Now I go to our wonderful drawing Miss Peggy did for us. This is one body. This is a person. It's a female. A young female, but nonetheless a female.
Okay.
So you guys think evil. That's her hair. All right, listen. So this body is made up of many members. It's made up of tootsies and fingers and eyes and nose. Thank you for the ears. That's going to come in good in 1 Corinthians. Am I the ear? Ears, mouth, so on and so forth. Right? That's what this is saying. We have many members in one body by comparison, and all the members have not the same office. The nose does something, the mouth does something, the hands does something, the ears do something, the eyes do something different, but it's all in the same body. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. See, we're one body in Christ here, but we're many and we're part one of another. Now, take your own body, for instance. You got a lot of things that make up your own body. See? Many members, but you make up the one body. And every one members one of another. See, my finger is a member of my hand, which is a member of my arm, which is a member of me. You understand? And I don't want to have 4 fingers or 3. I want all my fingers and all my ears. This, so forth. So, verse 5, we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or someone that teaches on teaching, or an exhortation, when he that gives it, let him do with simplicity, who that rules, let him do it with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, so on and so forth. Out of the many members that make up the one body of Christ, the Bible says that they don't all have the same office, they don't all have the same gifting, they don't all have the same ability. But they do have something. Whether it's an office, whether it's a gifting, whether it's an ability, whether it's a long suit. They all have something. Every single one of them. They have something. And that something they can contribute to the body of Christ. Now, this little baby toe, right there, okay? That may be insignificant to people, but I'll guarantee you if you cut your baby toe off right now, it will not be insignificant to you. As a matter of fact, it'll be the number one thing in your life, besides praying to God for healing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. You can't think of yourself, if this is what you are, for instance, you can't think of yourself less than a finger, or an ear, or an eye, or a nose, or whatever. You're just as important. Your toes to your natural body provide a function and a service, as do your fingers and your eyes and your ears. They're not always used. For instance, Miss, I took a nap. When Jesus is taking a nap there, her toes aren't doing much. Right? No. But when she's standing, walking around, her toes are doing plenty. Or when she's in the sand, under the sun, her toes are doing plenty. See, so you may not be utilizing it all the time, but at times, toes are important. A person who is gifted with prophecy should walk in that. A person who is gifted with a ministry should minister. A person who has the ability to teach should teach. See, this is between you and God. Because if you tie this together with Corinthians, you'll see that it's God who does all this. So, the point is, as Jesus Christ is the head, he expects his body to line up with his lordship and to move in the same direction that he's moving. Verse 8 says, he that exhorteth. If your ministry is exhortation, then you should be getting busy exhorting. Now, this is a little book that we get every month. And on page 9, it just so happens to say the gift of exhortation. The church is filled with people who have different passions and different interests. Christ designed his body to function this way by supplying various spiritual gifts by which his work is accomplished. Yet sometimes these differences can lead to misunderstandings because we each see through the lens of our own gift. I thought that was really interesting. We each see through the lens of our own gift. Exhortation is one of those spiritual gifts, and it can be misconstrued. People with this gifting may use strong words to urge followers, believers, towards spiritual maturity. Sometimes this involves identifying foundational problems in people's life, like pride, selfishness, or a desire for control, and prescribing corrective steps based on biblical principles. Other times, exhortation may include an explanation of the blessings of obedience as well as the warnings about the consequences of disobedience. You may have noticed this gift is often given to pastors who regularly exhort people from the pulpit. But there are also individuals in the congregation who may have this spiritual gift. As Christians, we need to hear the truth about ourselves and how we're living. Yet sometimes we may be resistant. Not anyone here, of course. Perhaps we think that the exhorter has oversimplified our situation and is trying to help God. Or maybe the way in which the advice is given strikes us as overconfident. At other times, we may question how Scripture is applied or doubt the genuineness of the one who is exhorting us. Although we should always compare what we hear with God's Word, we must not reject correction simply because we don't want to hear it. Wisdom comes with careful consideration of counsel as we hold firmly to the Word. So, if your long suit, gift, whatever you want to call it, is exhortation, then God has enabled you with that ability, and he expects you to, number one, recognize it, and number two, to apply it. Verse 8, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Do you know what it doesn't say? This is what it doesn't say. And some have no gifts or abilities or nothing to contribute. That's what it doesn't say. Do you know why it doesn't say that? Because everybody has something they can do. Everybody. Everybody. From the youngest to the oldest saint. And for this reason, many in the church live an entire life never realizing or fulfilling their God-given assignment and placement in the church because they don't think they count. They don't think they matter. They don't think they have anything to contribute. So you know what they do? They just come. And they're spectators. And they just, it's like going to a restaurant or going to a movie. They just come. And that's the extent of their attendance. People just don't see their part in the body of Christ. They don't understand the body, nor that they feel that they have anything that they can contribute to the body. And see, that's a sad testimony. Now, there are several basic reasons why people don't see their part in the body of Christ. Because what I want to do now is expand this a little and teach it to you simply so you get it. Because you always hear, oh, it's one body, or you don't see yourself big enough, or this sort of thing. And they're true, but sometimes they're just words. Sometimes you don't realize what God has done for you and what God expects back. And he's taken you. If this was a chessboard, every piece on that chessboard is one of you. Okay? Now, y'all can't be the king. That's reserved for Jesus. You understand? But some of you are rooks. Some of you are bishops. Some of you are pawns. But I'll guarantee you the first line of defense is the pawns. That's the way you line up a chessboard. And they're just as important. Now, you're placed in this board called life. And you're put in place in this board called life by God. I'm going to read that to you later on. God placed you in the body where he wants you. In other words, if this is Christ's body, Bible says that God put you in the body where it pleased him. Now, if he puts you here, that's where he wants you. You recognize who you are, understand your job, and get busy doing your job. If he's placed you here, that's where he wants you. He doesn't want you up here. He wants you here. Recognize it. Get busy doing your job. If he's placed you here, or here, or here, so forth and so on. People don't understand that. They don't see themselves as placed by God in the body of Christ. You are important. You have a mission. You have been hand-chosen for the job that only you can do the best. Okay? One of the reasons people don't see that is because they don't know that. If you have never been taught that you are important to Christ and to his body, the church, and that God has a plan for you, and that you should get busy doing what God has and wants for you, if you've never been taught that, you're not going to be able to walk in it because you don't have that knowledge. One reason is that people have not been taught that they are indispensable. You are absolutely necessary. You are an essential part of the church is because of the teachers in the church. The pastors, the teachers, the elders that are responsible to teach God's word to God's people have not told you how important you are and what you are to God and what you're supposed to do. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. One reason is pride, you see. But with pride is insecurity. It really is. It's weakness and fear. Because pride, many times, is just a cover for weakness and fear. Insecurity, self-confidence, this sort of thing. If a minister is afraid that he will has to keep control over his congregation, then he's going to teach in light of that. Do you understand? He's not going to teach that you have the same spiritual abilities that I have. I said abilities. I didn't say gifts or whatever. I said abilities. That you are just as important as I am. That you can receive just as many rewards, and God loves you just as much. He's not going to teach that. Because if he teaches that in his mind, you see, he's going to lose control. So some people purposely teach, it's about me. And if I say this, and if I say that, and if you don't line up, you're in big trouble. See, you ever been around someone like that? Well, the reason why that person is like that is because he has a spirit of fear. That's the strong man in that person's life. Now, a guardian spirit will stand in front of that spirit of fear, like pride and anger. But at the root, it's fear, because he's afraid. So he has to put on the front so you can't see the truth. A minister shouldn't be like that. In that case, it's the leadership in the church that's to blame. Some kingpins of the church don't want you to know how equipped and powerful you as an individual are. You see, if these spearheads ever taught that, they feel that they would lose their control over you. And because of fear, pride, and their lack of understanding the nature and the love of the Father, they choose to keep people in the dark so they don't lose their spell over you. And that's exactly what it comes down to many times. It's a spirit of witchcraft in the church that controls other people. See? And in order to continue to function in that, they have to keep you guessing. They have to keep you in fear. Look at John chapter 6. Do you know how Jesus led? He led by love, by example, and by truth. That's how Jesus led, among other things. And if he taught the truth in love, which he always did, and people didn't like it, you know what he did? Well, I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't heave wrath and condemnation and God's judgment on people and put them in fear of the consequences of disobedience to the great I am behind the lectern. Look, John 6, look at chapter or verse 65. 6:65. And he said, therefore say I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They got upset at what he said. And what he said was the truth. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus didn't threaten them. Jesus didn't threaten or pronounce the judgment of God upon those people because they chose not to follow. You know what Jesus did? He just kept on moving. He just kept on moving. Do you know why? Because in this case, those people judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. They did it to themselves. Look at Acts chapter 13. And this example of leadership was just not manifested in the life of Jesus Christ. This example of leadership on how to deal with people who choose not to follow, who choose to go contrary to the Word of God, is also exhibited in the life of the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament church to which you and I belong to. In Acts 13, verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming him. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to who? We're just going somewhere else. You don't want to hear it? That's fine. We'll go somewhere where they want to hear it. Because they were traveling around. That's how they dealt with it. They didn't say the great and powerful God is going to send lightning bolts. Now, if we were in charge, that's the way we would think. As a matter of fact, I think the apostle said that one time. Lord, pray that they send down then and fry everybody. And Jesus said, no, guys, come on. You got me all wrong. It's not the way we want to do it. That's the way they wanted to do it. That's not the way we wanted to do it. If a minister threatens you with the judgment and the wrath of God because you decide to leave his congregation, I can guarantee you that he does not speak for the true God. And there's a good possibility he speaks from the spirit of witchcraft that lives inside of him. Now, there are reasons for leaving a church. You ought to go online and type that in and read some of those articles, because they're very good articles. Why you should leave a church, or why you should go to another church. You know, and you can learn from those articles. One of the reasons why people leave a church is because they have children and you don't have a children's fellowship in your church. And that's wrong. Because it is not the church's responsibility to raise the children. It's the parents' responsibility to raise the children. And those children are going to grow big one day. And that's not a spiritual decision. These are what some of these articles teach you. Another reason is, you know, this and that and the other thing. And you can learn a lot. And if you don't want to agree with it, that's okay. But you can learn a lot. Another reason why people don't see and take their place in the body of Christ is self. Self. People are selfish. They don't want to get involved, and they don't want to serve. James teaches us to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. For some people, it's all about self. They come to fellowship or church, they receive the teaching, they eat, but they're spectators. They're looking to be entertained or fed, to have their spiritual needs met, but that's as far as they go. Seldom, if ever, do they get involved beyond an obscure glance. People who church hop don't see themselves in light of their local church. That's what happens. Because you don't see your place. You don't see your importance. You don't see that you have something to contribute, something to add, that you will be greatly missed if you leave this body. That you, even if you're a toe, will be greatly missed if you decide not to be there anymore. Now, just control your minds. I'll put it all together, okay? Give me a chance. Here's another body of Christ. Here's another body of Christ. And so on and so forth. Okay? You have a global body of Christ. The global body of Christ includes every born-again person in the world. That includes this one, and this one. Right? You know what else you have? You have a local body of Christ. You have a local body of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacteth by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians 4:16. Fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplieth. Every joint supplieth. So in other words, this supplies something to the body. this supplies something to the body, this joint supplies something to the body, this joint supplies something to the body. Supplies. Every, not except, every joint supplieth. The fact that there is one body, and you can see that in Ephesians 4:4, does not eliminate or minimize the need for the local body of believers. The fact that I belong to the universal church does not release me from my responsibilities to the local church. I cannot minister to the whole church. Now just think about it. It is impossible for you to minister to the whole church. You cannot go to China and minister to that church because you don't speak Chinese, or Japan, or wherever else. And here's another thing. Do you actually think you're going to walk into that church and get those people's attention? It's not going to happen. Do you know why? Because in a local church, any local church, people grow up. People observe you. People see your integrity. People learn that you're faithful. People learn that you can be trusted. People see your good works. You understand? And as you grow from just getting born again and you walk up these ladder of service and you keep walking and learning, you come to a place where God ultimately places you. You understand? And if he places you there, look, I can walk into churches right now and nobody would say boo to me. And I can walk into some churches and people will stand and say hi. Or they'll take me around and say, this is Reverend so-and-so. Okay? You can't minister to the whole church. You're not placed in the whole church. Who's the head of the whole church? Christ. And you know how he designed it? He designed to give gifts to the church. And not only the global church, but to the local church. The man who's on TV who reaches across the world, that's his gift. That's his ministry. Okay? And then there's another guy that comes on at 9 o'clock that says something different. Right? Sure, it's right. That's it. The way God designed it in the first century was what he called the house church. He went from the synagogue into the house church. He went into local congregations. And within those local congregations, he set leadership, he set gifts, and as they grew, they all came under that umbrella. But it was still the local church. The local church. You cannot, nor can I, minister to the whole church. But you can minister and strengthen the church by ministering to God's people in a local assembly. See? Someone walks up to you off the street and says, such and such. You know what you think? Who the hell are you? Right? But within the church, if Chuck comes up to you and says, hey, can I have a minute? And says such and such. You might respect that a little bit more than Joe at the bar. Right? Or someone that you don't know. Because we're supposed to function together as a body. As a body. 1 Corinthians 14 says, don't worry about it. For as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, verse 12, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the what? The church. Now, what church do you think that's talking about? The global church of Christ? The local church. And see, that was one of the biggest mistakes Ohio made. Ohio tried to run the local church from Ohio. But Ohio didn't have a damn clue or an understanding what was going on in the local church. You know who should have ran the local church? The local minister. Because I can guarantee you what's going on in New York is not the same that's going on in Norristown. And what's not going on in Minnesota or Minneapolis or Florida. How are you going to try to rat what happens when you get one guy trying to run everything and don't have a clue? You know who runs the local church? The local church. That's who runs it. Because you know who knows what's going on, who has their feet on the ground, who's in the gutters in with the people in the local church? The local ministers, the believers. They understand. That's why you can't sit and direct and say such and such and such and such. Washington makes the same stupid mistakes. They send a set of Marines into Afghanistan. And they say, you do this, you do that. Well, you don't know what's going on when you're on the ground. Those guys have to make a decision according to the context of what's going on. I just read an article this week how the government turned against a set of special forces, Marines, six of them, took away their money, plastered their names to CNN. The CNN took the bad press and slandered them. After 12 years, the truth came out. There was one colonel who led those forces that was relentless. He wouldn't give up. And they had to turn around and they had to apologize for what they did to those poor men and women. They said they slaughtered hundreds of poor, innocent civilians. When the truth was that they came down the middle of the street and they opened fire from both ends. And out of those six guys, only one got wounded. And they took all the rest of those SOBs out. Special forces. And they took those men and they gave them dishonorable discharges. They took their pensions away. People, they got divorced. It's just tragedy after tragedy. And now the truth comes out. And you know what the truth said? It says that Washington and the people there deliberately misrepresented it and spun the story in the media because it was a political play. Listen, you can't run the church from Ohio or any other state. You are empowered with the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have members, each one of you, that are gifted, have talents and ability. And together, as we come together under the headship of Christ, we are to run the local church in light of how he directs. And he has empowered us and he has equipped us so that nothing is lacking. Filleth all in all, nothing is lacking. If you don't see yourself as part of the body, then something's going to be lacking in the church. And that's where people miss it. They don't see their importance in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, please. I'm going to move on. Just bear with me. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 14. Here's the body. Here's the many members. And he's comparing and he says, this is how the body of Christ is supposed to work. That's what he's saying. 14. Body is one, not many members, but men, not one member of men. If the foot shall not say unto the hand, so forth, I'm not of the body, see it. If the ear doesn't say, I'm not the eye, see it. If the whole body were an eye or were an ear, you see it. Everybody's got something to contribute. Everybody does. So we have seen that the body is one, but the body is made up of many members. And that's the way the body of Christ is. He's one body, but it's made up of many members. The members in the body of Christ are who? The people. The foot can't say this, the ear can't say that, nothing. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members. Who are the members? Okay, so I could literally read, but now hath God set the people, and taking it another step further, put your name there. But now hath God set Alan, set Stephen, set Jimmy. But now hath God set the members, just a few, the ones that aren't blonde, the ones that aren't Italian. If it included the Italians, were in. Every one of them, as it has pleased what?
Yeah.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Okay? Knowing that you cannot effect change for the most part, and that you are not chosen to minister to the entire global body of Christ, you only have two choices here. Did God set the members in the global body of Christ at his pleased him? Yeah, maybe. But here's my next question. Do you think that God has set the members in the local body of Christ at his pleased him too? Right? That makes sense. That's not reaching. I'm not arguing the other point, but I'm talking about ministering. I'm talking about moving things. I'm talking about your local church. Who? Anybody's local church. If God has set you in the local church as it has pleased him, now we got something. Let me tell you what I'm telling you. Not just here, but every church that has Christ as the head and that is moving under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Okay? If God has set Joe in the Baptist church at 32nd and Vine as it has pleased him, where should Joe be this morning if they're having a church meeting? And what should Joe be doing? Whatever God has gifted him and whatever God has given him the ability to do at chapter and verse? Where? 32nd and Vine. If God has placed Susan in the Pentecostal church at 113 and Church Street, and they're meeting this morning, where should Susan be today? At the Methodist church? Where? At 113. Doing what? What she is gifted or ability that she has, and she should be functioning in that what? Local body of Christ. Do you understand? Listen, I'm not telling you this. I'm telling you what the Word says. This is how God planned the church to work. This is how he planned it to work. He knows about the global body of Christ. He's not dumb. Okay? Unto the church which is at Corinth. Unto the church which is at Rome. Unto the church which is at Ephesus. I get that. I get that. Salute the brothers which are in Laodicea. Colossians 4:15. And Nuphis. And the church which is in his house. He gets the local body of Christ. Our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our soldier, and to the church in thy house. That's the local body of Christ. Greet Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers in Christ. Likewise, greet the church which is in their house. That's the local body. The church that was in Aquila and Priscilla's house was made up of people. Those people had talents and abilities. Those people had to see themselves as part of the one body, yes, but as part of the local body. And they had to realize that they were placed in that body by God, and God is pleased where he's placed them. The word stileo, it's the word also translated will. In other words, it was God's will for so-and-so to be placed in that church. Now, let me ask you a question. Each believer is a member of Christ's body, and each believer has a part to play. If God has set the members in the body, both global and local, as it has pleased him, are you serving God where he has placed you? That's my question. So you got two ways you can do this. And only two. No more. If you do not believe that God has placed you in this local body to contribute to this church, to give to this church, to support this church, to be part of it, to function, to operate your gifts, your ministries, your talents, and your abilities. If you do not believe that you have any part of this, okay, then you need to find a church where you believe God has placed you. Now that's a big thing, because you know what, for some people, they just go after church after church after church after church after church. They never land, they never get rooted and grounded, and they never get busy ministering where God's placed them. That's number one. And that's to be honest. That's being honest. I want to be somewhere. Listen, I am here doing what I'm doing, not because I chose to do this. I went somewhere else, and I took papers, and I took things, and I said, let's do this. How about if we do this? What can you do? We could do this. How about? And you know what the guy said to me? He didn't want to hear nothing. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm telling you the truth. He didn't want to hear nothing. I had to put a mirror in front of his nose to see if he's still breathing. That's how dead it was. So you know what I did? I shut my mouth and I left. I tried. But the place I went to didn't want any part of me. So I had to go somewhere where I could serve, because I knew that God wants me to serve. And the rest is history. If you feel that way, you need to be honest with yourself. You really do. Because if you're not, you can't just sit here and not do nothing. Go somewhere where you think God is calling you and do something. You understand? Now, that doesn't mean everybody's got to teach. Everybody can contribute. Everybody, and everybody does contribute. I'm not talking about any individual in here. Everybody does contribute. I can look at each one of you and tell you what you contribute. He teaches. They've supported us for 1,000 years. Okay? She listen, here's part of the body. Calls me up, says, when are we going to do a soup night? And then calls me 2 days later, says, why didn't you answer me? But, okay, but wait a minute. That's contributing. That's contributing. You know what's not contributing? Not saying nothing. He runs. You do things. You open your house. He teaches. You're just a cutie pie. Everybody does things here. You understand? So I'm not teaching this and saying, what I'm telling you is this. Find out, get more, and give to the local body. Because if God's placed you here, and he's pleased where he's placed you, if you're beyond the part of, I won't go somewhere else. Okay, go somewhere else if you think he's placed you there. But when he's placed you there, do something. Just don't say, oh, I want to go somewhere else. Oh, this doesn't work. I want to go. No, because you'll do that for your life. Make a decision. If God's placed you, then he's placed you here for a reason. See, and that's the thing. Now it's not me. Now it's all you. Because I'm doing what I think he wants me to do. You guys need to do what you think he wants you to do. Because he's placed you here and he's pleased. And if that's the case, then make a skit. Then come up with an idea. Then bring someone to fellowship. Then help Kim do something. Or help each other do something. Or invite so-and-so. Or do. You understand? My point is, get involved. Do something. This is your local body. You are just as important as anybody else in this room. And if you don't see yourself as a part of this church, as a part of this local body, not this his church, if you don't see yourself, you know what you're going to do? Nothing. You're going to come, you're going to keep your mouth shut, and you're going to leave. But each one of you have something to contribute. Each one of you. You have to see yourself. And you have to understand God's designed it that way. You have to also understand God's placed you in the body. Now, if it's this body, he's pleased at where you're placed. Don't sit there and bitch about it. Instead of yapping about it, why don't you try doing something? Why don't you try encouraging someone? Why don't you try moving ahead with the things of God? You understand? I'm just trying to kickstart you. Do what God's called you to do. You're more important, I would venture to say. Then I will say, you're more important than I am. I am nothing compared to you guys. You are more important. You have talents and abilities that I couldn't even begin to approach. I couldn't even, you know, when I can't fix something, you know what I do? I pick up the phone. You know who I call? McCluskey. Yo, got an electrical problem. You know what McCluskey does? Comes up, smoking a cigarette, put that cigarette out before you come in my garage. Comes in, fixes the car, $100, he's there for 10 minutes, $100, I write him a check and he leaves. Why? Because he has that ability. He has that talent. You understand? That's you guys. You guys have that ability. You have that talent. You have ideas. You don't want me to sing to you. Trust me. Carmen sings much prettier. Okay, so we're not going to go on and on and on. But listen, if God was pleased to set you in the body, the global and the local, then you should see yourself as part of the one body. You shouldn't say in your mind, I'm not the eye, I'm not the mouth. You are just as important, and you are just as missed, and you should figure out where you are in this body of Christ. If you don't fit, go find a place that you fit. You know what I'm telling you? I'm not telling you that to be mean. I'm telling you that because I love you. Because I would rather see you find a place where you fit and that you could serve there and be happy than to not serve and miss what God wants you to do. I'm just being honest. But if you feel that God has placed you here, then get busy. Start talking. See, that's why I try to encourage people to teach. That's why I try to encourage people to do things and get involved. Because it's not the Nick and Kim show. You got to see yourself as this big. Jesus died for this reason. You understand? And until he comes back, he expects us as the local body to function together, to move together, and to continue to hold forth the word of life. That makes sense, okay? And again, it's not about it. I mean to offend nobody. That's just the truth. Find out. Go pray. And then, you know what? Come up with some ideas. Amen.